is powerful, Father. Thank you. Thank you for doing it. This is terrific. Thank you. If we could practice it daily, if we would practice daily what you're teaching us, the life would change dramatically. As you said, too bad it's not taught anymore. It's very practical.
Today is a tough meditation.
So what's the topic today? Meditation and just today's reading.
According to the reading of today. It's like providential. So we can pray. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask God, our Father, to help us to understand better the wisdom and the power that is in His will, so we desire it more and we stop following our will. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask Mary, our mother, to help us to understand the will of God better, to want it as she, so we can be as she also holy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, any doubt about the rules of discernment of a spirit? So they're very simple. If we are trying to purify our hearts and going from good to better, they're very simple. God is there and God encourages us. I mean, God wants to encourage. This is the God of all consolation, of all comfort, the God of mercy, the Father of mercies and all consolation. It's the way St. Paul described God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. I mean, so it's a title like of the letter. And God is the God of all consolation. He wants to give us consolation. And if we don't receive consolation, it's because, I don't know, maybe we are not praying well. Because he's there. I mean, he's opening to him. He's opening and putting him first. The only thing that he's asking us. It's the same thing as putting love first and putting our growth first. So, and the rules are for that. The rules are for knowing what is happening inside me, so I can react, not to remain there stagnant. In a spiritual life, as the other day we were talking, you cannot be stagnant, or you are growing or you are going down. So, and it's there. So, but they are very useful, and so try to assimilate them for reacting. I mean, I think that the most important is face the devil. Face the devil. So don't get discouraged. Don't get your feelings to get you. I mean, face any temptation. So react against it, doing the opposite that the temptation is trying to put in your heart. That's what I say also in other kinds of temptations. That is the, you know, I mean, maybe when we are not praying, that we have a temptation about greediness or about lust or about envy, whatever. I mean, something that is coming to my head. So I can do two things, because what I recognize is the idea, no? The thought. It's what I recognize. But the thought is moved by a desire. A desire of rivalry with other people or comparing with others and thinking that I am better. So what is moving the thought is my desires. So what happens if I repress my thinking? I stop my thinking. I cannot think that. I mean, you stop this. But this, that is an emotional church, you cannot stop it. remains inside you, and it's going to come back in other ways. So what do I, when I have any kind of bad, evil, tempting thoughts, what do I have to do with them? But open them to God. So connect it, your, this desire, that is not a very intelligent desire, because all these are deceitful desires, because they are not bringing any fullness to my life, any joy, any happiness, but they are bringing a temptation, a kind of, in a concrete situation. So these desires, as all desires, we have more or less understood, is, are coming from the desire of being loved. And the desire of happiness. So what I can do is, in the temptation, oriented my desire toward God, because it's connected. Whatever desire you are having, especially the desires of rivalry or comparing or judging or envy or lust, is totally connected with the desire of being loved. One of the most directly connected. And also with the desire of happiness, mistaking happiness with pleasure. So it's a lie. So it's a desire that is a lie. It's an insane desire. So, but I can open it to God. How? I mean, opening my desires and opening to God first. Recognizing it, that is the first thing. And now opening it to the mystery of God. So orienting my heart toward God. My God, you know this, you are my Savior. And in that moment, I am proclaiming Him my Savior. So I am opening in reality, in the concrete of my life, my concrete desires, contrary to me, contrary to God, contrary to me, contrary to others. I am opening them to love. I open it to God, and I make an act of love to God, so of desire of God. And I am giving to the desire, it's the charge, it's not remaining, it's achieving fulfillment. So I am changing totally the situation. Why? Because I am conquering the desire in a way. I mean, St. John of the Cross, I think, talk about this. It's a very weird word. Anagogical? G, but I don't know how he... I think in Spanish anagogical. No, anagogical cannot be. Anagogical. Well, the name is the same. I mean, it no matter. The thing is that everything that is happening in your heart, you can open it to God. Why? Because He knows it eternally. So He knows these thoughts that you were going to have, and the temptation is not unknown by God. So, but when you understand and accept the temptation, not refusing it, but understanding that it's connected with your ego, with your desires, now you can solve the problem, because you can open it to God and orient it to God. Imagine what is happening. In the psychological level, in the psychological level, you are not repressing nothing. That is one of the worst things. The other reason the people repeat and are obsessive in their behavior. You are escaping from that charge because you are not keeping it. The emotions and the feelings are energy inside. And now you are orienting it instead of repressing. So we don't repress nothing. Atheists need to repress. We don't need to repress. We open to fullness. Why? Because in that moment, in the psychological, I am giving a channel for fullness of my desires. In the preternatural, that is the action of Satan, if he sees that I am using the temptation for opening to God, as you can understand, he's going to stop the temptation. If he sees me firm in acting in this way, that is opening it to God. And the third is in the supernatural, or I am opening to grace. I am opening to the action of God because I am opening to salvation. So imagine the power of the action, so simple in whatever thing that is happening in my heart, how I can conquer it. Why? Because I can open it to the desires of being loved and to the desire of happiness, because it's rooted in those desires. Whatever you are doing is connected with your desire of being loved, and you can open it to the love of God, and you can open it to the union with God. So you are using attentation for coming closer to God. I mean, it's something that, why? Because God knows it, and at the same time you are coming more humble, because instead of denying that you have those thoughts, you are accepting your weakness before God, and you are opening to the Savior, because I am a sinner. And you open to him your sinful whatever desires. I don't know what they are. It can be many things, or greediness, or whatever, or they know me, or whatever thing that is happening in your heart is connected with your desires. That is what is very important to understand. And now, because of that, and these desires only God can fulfill then, I move the desire, that is this concrete desire, to a greater dimension. So to the fullness of all desires, to the fulfillment of all desires, that is God. It's even a book written with that title, as you probably know, no? The fulfillment of all desires. Because he's able to fulfill the desires. He's the only one who is able to fulfill the desires in a true way, that they don't make me more selfish, that make me grow. And that is also part of the temptation, is facing the devil. So instead of doing what he's pretending me, to feel bad because I am having a desire, I face him. I go further. It's clear the point? I mean, it's very important, and it's very powerful. In the spiritual life, this movement of the heart is very, very powerful. Why? Because you are conquering the psychological, you are opening to conquering the enemy, because the enemy, the only thing that he is not is stupid. So if he sees that you are in the disposition of opening to God, when he tempts you with this, whatever kind of thinking or idea, I mean, he's going, at least in the, he's going to stop in temptation. Maybe now is your psychology, but your psychology, you are now giving a fullness to it. You are not remaining in the sick ways that we have in our psychology. And in the supernatural, I insist, you are opening to the grace of God because you are proclaiming him your Savior. That is a concrete act of proclaiming God my Savior, here and now. In whatever is happening inside me, because the majority of things that are inside you are about thoughts and ideas. But the purification of the heart, that is the discernment of the spirit, comes here. So the purification of the heart is purifying these things that keep there in my behavior all along my life. But I need to purify them, and going from good to better. It's a very powerful thing for conquering the... But we are going in order today. So we leave the you have doubt, you can bring them other days. The discernment of the spirit and the rules are there. They are very interesting, but we cannot remain there for more time. The only thing is using them. I mean, they are powerful. I mean, God illuminated the San Ignatius and give and enlighten him for understanding this thing of discernment of spirits. That is the Jesuits' foundation. The spiritual exercises are based in this experience of Saint Ignatius, that was a discernment of a spirit. And that experience of Saint Ignatius, I mean, changed his life. Not God bless. So today we are going to have, you know, who was at Mass today? You, majority of you. You know the first reading of today, how Hebrews. Yeah. You know what he's saying? Somebody can read it. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14-15. It's a powerful text that is what is going to be the meditation today, that we are going to offer spiritual exercises. Yeah, I got on this one. Yeah. Yes, read it in high, loud voice that they can hear. Yes.
Okay. Since the children shared in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in death, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who thought fear of death had been subject to slavery all their lives. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, okay. He had to become like his brother and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God.
Yeah, that is.
To mitigate the sins of the people.
That is. That is. Thank you. So Jesus took our flesh and our blood for dying. And dying destroyed the one who has the power of death, Satan. And through the fear of death, had people a slave of him, Satan, all along their lives. The fear of death is very powerful. I mean, in psychology, there are some good books that talk about that, and the fear of death is very powerful. Rules human life. And according to this text, we have to lose that fear. But how I can lose a fear to something? Facing it. And that is what this meditation is about, is facing death. And for being more concrete, facing my death. So I don't have that fear. I lose that fear. How? First thing is understanding that all this is founded in the resurrection of Jesus. That our faith is founded in this fact. Our faith is not about ideas, it's about a fact that happened in human history. The resurrection of Jesus from the death. It's clear the point, no? Where is our faith? Is here. Our faith is not in other place, it's here. So, and Jesus did everything for us and for our salvation. So, he even rise from the dead, for we understand God and the power of God and acting in history. So, this is the foundation, the cornerstone is the expression of all our faith. Whatever we believe of Jesus, is founded in the resurrection. And that is very good that we go always to that fact. Because the church is always bringing us to that fact. In the measure I believe in the resurrection is the measure I am a Christian. You go to the Acts of the Apostles, the announcement is only one. The Lord is risen. The one who was crucified has risen from the dead and now is in power and will come as judge of living and the dead. And this is the kerygma. And they don't announce any other thing, but that was salvation for the people because there God works. In what? In those who believe that what? That Jesus, the one who was crucified, has been risen from the dead. Yeah. I mentioned to you yesterday, no, this weekend, no, Monday was, this Monday, last Monday. We saw a movie of, well, it's a movie, a video of National Geographic about the tomb of Jerusalem, of Jesus. You know the tomb, after many years, it has been restored with a lot of problems because you know that there are the different religions there, the Orthodox, the different kind of Orthodox, all the religion, the Christians groups have. Except the Protestant probably have a place there and an influence there and authority there. So it was very difficult to make everyone to agree to the most sacred place for Christianity, the place where Jesus was risen from the dead. So, and they did that because they proved and that the thing was getting weaker and was even a risk of falling down and so, and they convince them then, and it's that. And it's amazing because there was a history idea, because you know, there was a, one of these emperors, the Roman emperors were wicked guys. This one, Adriano, was a Spanish one. He was one of the worst. I mean, he was an homosexual that he, you know, if you go to Rome, you usually go to visit Villa Adriana. Villa Adriana is one of the huge, amazing places that the Romans built, and this was built by Adrianus, the emperor, because his beloved friend, young friend, died drowned, and for for consolation and recreation of that lost of his beloved young man. And this guy, that were not only there, they were perpetrated in many ways, this guy went to Jerusalem, and in the place that they were saying that was the tomb of the Jesus resurrected, he built a temple to the goddess Venus. I mean, imagine the kind of people that they were. And when Constantine converted and went there, he destroyed the temple to Venus and made the first basilica of the Holy Sepulchre. And those who have been in Jerusalem is there. And it's there because it's amazing, because the tradition was saying that only this stone, that is where you go there is the stone with the dust, is the only thing that was there. And no, the rocks of the cave are there. So they keep in the structure and the construction the rocks of the caves. It's amazing. It's archaeological, it's totally almost proof that the Jesus, this is the place where Jesus rise. Well, at least the place where Jesus was, the body was laid down. But it was the place. That is sure. And it's there. I mean, and it's the rock that is there is from the 3rd century. So, because there was a slab of the rock, big one, and it's of the first. They make the proof, and they were doubting it was of the Crusades or no. It's of the 1st century. I mean, you know, that is amazing. With the Shroud of Turin also, that is an amazing thing about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So, this is the perspective in which we face death. And we have to face it. It's very important. We have to prepare to die, because we have to prepare for the encounter with God. It's the same thing. What difference is between dying and having the encounter with God? Is there some difference? I mean, you can read John 14:1-5. In the house of my Father, no. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In the house of my Father, there are many dwellings. I am going to prepare for you a place, and I will come back. And if that were not true, I will not say you that. I mean, I am not a liar. And I will come back, and I will take you with me, so where I am, you also may be. That is death for God. I mean, it's beautiful, no? God coming to bring you to him and to the place where you are going to meet him. I know that is not the way, because we have no faith. That is our whole problem. As I can going to show. I mean, this is the problem. I mean, God works through faith, and God doesn't work out of faith. Have this very clear. It's very important that we constantly restore our faith, and not faith in things. We don't believe things. We believe facts that happen in history, in which God teach us. And there are two facts that we have always to come back and again and again to those facts. That this one is the resurrection, the death of Jesus in the cross, because that is the mercy of God. How God loves me. Well, the mercy is both. This is the love of God for sinners. That is the way the Father loves you, giving his Son to die in a cross. And that is the fact that is foundation of our faith, the love God has for us. And that is always we have to be, but it's connected with other facts, and they cannot be resurrected because it's called the Paschal mystery, no? That is, the church in every sacrament, in every moment, is renewing this Paschal mystery, because on that Paschal mystery is when it's coming all the power and all the action of God in human history. It's clear the point. And has two dimensions. One is the mercy of God. That is the love of God for sinners. The way God loves me now is this, is the mystery of the cross. But the power that God has over the cross, so over suffering, over sin, that is death. The death here of the soul, that is sin. We don't have much fear to this, but we have much fear to our death. Maybe because we don't fear this. Sin, suffering, and death, physical death. The death, In the Spanish speaker, we have always a confusion with death and death. So, these three things is the things that Jesus took here in the cross. And in the resurrection, he showed the power of God there. And we are always coming there to the mystery of suffering, the mystery of sin, and the mystery of death. For what? For conquering them. Because, I mean, we will go to see how all Christian action is facing us with death. And if we are not facing that, means that we are, because, you know, not walking toward God. I mean, walking toward God means walking toward the union with him, walking toward seeing God. But that is not going to happen in this life, in fullness. But I don't want fullness. Okay. But you don't want fullness, you neither want the half fullness that God wants to give you now. Because what is moving the fullness is God gives the union to him in the measure you desire the union with him. That is called charity. Charity is a desire of the union with God. In fact, it's the union with God already. Yeah. So, but all Christian virtues are oriented toward the union with God. Faith, hope is about the union with God. It's about heaven. It's putting our happiness only in God, in the union with God, in the kingdom of God. Yeah? That is hope. But if my desires, and that you can understand it's a huge problem in this society. People are not oriented toward God. People are oriented toward everything in their desires except to God. And now things are difficult. Yes, they are very difficult. Why? Because we are not created for orienting the things toward ourselves. We are created for orienting the things toward the goal and the end for which we have been created, that is the union with God. So, Jesus took this, and that is the meditation is. So, I'm going to give some ideas about the meditation. I will give you a paper, and I encourage you to do it. This is one of the most powerful things that a person can do before God. What? Facing death. We are always in the future, in our projections and fears, and our insecurities, because we don't face death. Facing death is putting the present moment before God. And that is a powerful thing. You can get afraid or you can do it. But it's better to do it. Why? Do you think that God is going to kill you if you put before God and say, my God, when you want, as you want, and when you want. Now God kill you. I mean, what idea of God do you have? A monster or a father that loves you with infinite love? Because maybe it's a monster. And then you need to purify also that. I mean, God is there. God is love. And the moment of your death is the greatest moment of love to God to you. Because the moment he's going to bring you to the union with him. If you desire it. I mean, it's very important to get it. It's very important to understand that this is about doing his will. But why we were saved? We were saved because Jesus accepted to die. And accepted to die, not as a desire, not as a set to die, as the way of getting to the Father. And that makes the whole difference. And the change of that, why? I mean, this is not about what is going to happen, because nobody never knows what is going to happen. When, or how, or where. It's impossible. But it's a fact. It's a fact that affects our human history, and Satan has a power in our hearts because that fact. And from childhood, we know it. From very little, we know it. That's the reason Jesus have nightmares very early. Why? Because they have fear of dying. And you had then, as I had then, when you were little. Why? Because the knowledge that I'm going to die is something that is part of our humanity. It's part of being humans. A person who is not aware that he's going to die is not an authentic human. I am quoting Heidegger. Maybe you have heard about him. He's a philosopher, existentialist, the father of existentialism, we can say. The greater thinker of all the existentialists. And he talked about this point, those who doesn't face death, they are unauthentic. I think that he was unauthentic because it's almost impossible to face death if you are not walking toward God. But in thinking, that is very different, as you know, from acting. There is the greatest distance in the universe is between this and this. Here you can know the things very well. But the distance here has to be only one thing can go this way. It's called humility. When the things come to the heart, instead of keeping it in the head. That is the reason that this is a little tough. But so, first thing, a fact. I am going to die. I mean, it's a truth that you cannot deny. You can't deny other things. Of my life, I know nothing about the future, except one thing absolutely sure. I'm going to die. But I mean, and you can understand the power of this reality, of this fact, because the children put this fact in the unconscious, but that means giving the power to Satan. Now, because of the fear of death, he has a slave of all, make us a slave of him all along our lives. I mean, that we understand the text is very important. This is a fact that is very important that we get it, because as you can understand, the only creature in the universe that knows that he's going to die is human being. Animals don't know that. But us, from childhood, we know it. Why? Because it belongs to our humanity. This fact. Because that fact gives us a lot of light and understanding of life. Of for we are here. And what is the things that, and what is that is away? This is an instant. This is passing. Everything is passing. But we don't get there. We make things. Why? Because we don't meditate. You know, the saints, they have the skulls there you see them in the pictures, in the paintings, no, sometimes. I mean, why? Do you think that's for having fear to death? No. For not having fear to die. It's totally different. Why? Because this meditation, when you do it, is for losing the fear of death. It's not for having it. So, a fact, I am going to die. And this belongs to human conscience from childhood. So, if it is not, we are not aware of that, what happens? In that moment, we are hiding it. And hiding it means creating problems in the unconscious, because that fear works in me. I want or I don't want. I mean, there are very good books. I don't want to recommend them because this guy is an atheist. But the book is good about the psychological problem of the fear of death and how the power it has only in the psychological level. Existential psychologist of California, Irving Jalon is his name. I mean, you can read it. I mean, don't affect me. What makes me is more strong in my faith when I read these guys. Why? Because these guys would say that the four ultimate concerns that you have in your life and all the psychological problems that you have in your life and every human being, the four ultimate concerns, that all the neurotics have not resolved these four ultimate concerns are, first, loneliness. First, death. I mean, I am not agreeing with him, because I think first is loneliness. But, I mean, second, death. Third, meaningless. Or third or fourth, meaningless. And freedom. These three problems are huge problems in human life. Why? And ultimate concerns of all neurotics are these problems. They don't face death, and they are afraid of all their life. They are in loneliness trying to escape. You know, they start being loved. It's an expression of that. Life has no meaning because he talked of this in a materialistic, atheistic dimension. I mean, and freedom of what? A material being can have freedom, but all the neurotics have fear of having of freedom, of having the responsibility of using their freedom. The life is meaningless. Why? Because, I mean, if there is not a goal, the last word is dead. So what is the meaning of things that you are doing? And loneliness is constitutive part of the human heart. So you take God from these things, and it's no solution to the problem. Even he tries to give a psychological solution, it's no solution. But this is, he talks here about the power of this fear in human life of everyone. And how the people who have an experience of death, because they have a whatever moment or a cancer or something very strong that put them almost to die, their life changed totally. The perspective of life, how you understand things, how they value things. Have you seen the movie Courageous? Of parents' education, of the responsibility of fathers in the education of children. It's a Protestant movie, but it's very good. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's good. I mean, it's not a thriller, but it's a good, it's well done, and it's not boring. I mean, it's a movie that has and this is the key moment. It's a father that has a daughter of 12 years, and the daughter dies. And the chain of the life of the father, he was a Protestant, a believer, but the death of her daughter changed totally her way of living. Why? Because the experience of death is very powerful. And he begins to read the Bible, and he begins to change, and change his behavior. And now, I mean, it's some movie, it's a Christian movie, of course. It's very Protestant, and they don't hide anything about that, but they don't say nothing against that we cannot accept of them. I mean, so, but is there, I mean, how death changed the life in the books of psychology is described. So what I want to make clear is that it's a point that if you don't face it, it's bad for you and for your spiritual health and your human health. This is in the Catechism of the Church. The Church encourages us to prepare ourselves for the hour of our death. 1014. All the number is amazing, I mean. So it's from 1006, so 1005. It's beautiful, I mean. Can read and make a meditation. It's a whole meditation. No, death is dying. Dying means separation of the body and the soul. As you know, probably, the soul passed to the presence of God, and it has a personal judgment in which it is condemned, or is go to purgatory for purifying things, or go to heaven directly. And that is the most important moment in the human history of every human being. Why? Because it's the moment that it decides your eternity. But we don't think about it. I mean, it's crazy, no? It's a kind of, but we are escaping from it. I mean, in this society, we have made death as something that is nothing. And it's, death is transformed by Christ. The obedience of Jesus dying, because he doesn't have to die. He didn't have to die. Why? Because he has no sin. So he died, and when he died, he makes Satan to, you know, the fathers of the church make a comparison between how Satan deceives us in a tree and make us eat from the apple for separating us from God and killing us. And Jesus makes Satan beat him, and when he tried to beat him with death, he put life inside death and destroy all power of Satan about death. It's an image that is there, but it's... So, he accepted it and an act of complete and free submission to the Father's will. So an act of love is what it said. You know, my mom, probably you have heard it of me, but I was Steve, even he doesn't know, he was part of that. Yes. I was there because I was very lucky. The day I was visiting her, my parents, because they were very old, My dad was 91 and my mom 85. And she was very weak. And I went there, and was not because my brothers were saying me, come Armando, the things are worse, he's getting worse. No. But when I saw her, that I have seen a lot of people dying because, you know, a priest is in the giving anointing of the sick is saying people, oh. I say, mom is very weak. I talk with them that we have a dinner, my brothers and their wives and husbands, and she's going to die, I don't know when, but I don't think he's going to pass this year. We were at the November 28th or something like that, 29. And I saw her, and that night, when I come back, I saw her so weak that I remember something Steve commented about. I think that you said that was from Claude de la Colombière. That's something you commented in That Man Is You. I didn't know that, I mean, but I embrace it. That in the moment of death, you accept death as a gift of God, as the love of your Father, and you make your heart total union with Him, the desire of accepting Him as He wants everything, you don't pass purgatory. And I told that to my mom. I said that. You know, mom, she was so weak, and she was in a fear of death. She has fear of death because probably there are several reasons. Once she, when she was young, little, her older and younger sisters died. So imagine for a girl, what is that? And she's getting a psychological fear. And also she was from 6 to 9 in the Civil War of Spain. 6 to 9 is an age that you are very impressed by everything. So she has a psychology. She was a woman of faith. I mean, that surprised me always, that fear, because it was like disconnected through her spiritual life. But was there, I mean, something psychological that she was not, in some way, never faced, or whatever. And I told her, I mean, and next day she was as peaceful, as joyful, as always there. And I think that she, well, I didn't think, no, I'm sure she understood and the thing totally. She was a very spiritual woman. And, I mean, the next morning, not that morning that I talked with her, the next morning, she was there. They were helping her to dress. And the woman who was helping her said, Pilar, do you want to go to the kitchen or to have breakfast, or you want to stay here in the armchair? And my mom answered her, I think that today I am not going to have breakfast. And saying that, she closed her eyes and she died. And was so poop that she called me, Armando, come here, I cannot move your mom. The woman that was helping her to dress was so peaceful, the dead, that she thought that she was not dead, she was asleep. Slept. So it called me, and I moved her, and when I moved her, I said, mom is gone. I mean, but I mean, is that, I mean, death is part of the plan of God. You remember? But you commented in That Man Is You. In That Man Is You. It was not coming from you, but the Spirit. That was the Spirit. But the Spirit there working. No. But it's powerful, I mean. It's powerful, I mean. And you can understand that is what happened to the Dimas, no? Dimas accepted his death and accepted his suffering and is a saint. And we have 3 hours for becoming a saint. So the most powerful moment of your life, if you haven't faced it before, I mean, imagine the problem you have. Why? Because I am going to die. I don't know when, how, or where. But I know that I'm going to die. But if I am prepared now, if I'm not prepared now, how am I going to be prepared at that moment? And we pray in every Hail Mary, now and in the hour of our death. And we don't face it. And here is what the Catechism of the Church says. I mean, this meaning of Christian death is very interesting. The Church encourages us to prepare ourselves for the hour of our death. In the ancient litany of the saints, for instance, she has us pray, from a sudden and unforeseen death, deliver us, Lord. And we ask our Mother Mary, at the hour of our death, in the Hail Mary, and to entrust ourselves to Saint Joseph, the patron of a happy end. And finish with these words of the Imitation of Christ. Every action of yours, every thought, should be those of one who expects to die before the day is out. And how different we will behave. I mean, how different we will behave. We'll be holy in all moments. Why? Because, I mean, you know. Death will have no great terrors for you if you have a quiet conscience. Then why not keep clear of sin instead of running away from death? If you aren't fit to face death today, it is very unlikely you will be tomorrow. I mean, it's clear, the point. And you know the expression, I'm finished with the expression of San Francis of Assisi. Praise are you, my Lord, for our sister bodily dead. So, you know, I encourage you to face it because it's the only way. You know, Genesis has two texts. One is 2:17 and the other is 3:4. In Genesis 2:17 is when God connected death and moral action. Don't eat of the tree of life, because certainly the day you eat, you will die. And he died here. Death, the greatest there, the death that we have here, is dying spiritually. Is dying in the relationship with God, breaking our relationship with God, that is called the spiritual death. That is the death of the soul. That is called sin. Yeah? And that to that we don't have any fear. Yeah, or at least very little. The saints has a lot of fear to that. It's the fear of separating from God. It's the fear of sinning. Why? Because I know that fear of God is not fear to God. It's fear of separating myself from God. So, and you know who is the other, no? Don't eat of the tree, because certainly, that is the word of God, the day you eat, you will die. That is what God said to Adam. Yeah? And Satan, a little later, for tempting the woman, you know what he said to her? No, you will not die. So sin was possible because that woman, in her heart, denied the fact of death. If not, it would be impossible. Imagine the power of the sin, I mean. Why? Because everything is possible because we are not aware that we are going to die. We don't get awareness of that. So, and Satan, obviously, take that from our conscience. Put us in fear, so we don't bring it to conscience, but the things that you have fear, you try to cover them. You don't bring them to light. And here, this meditation is for bringing it to light. And not having fear, so I can conquer my fear. And with that, all the other fears that are connected with the fear of death. Because the fear of death is connected with the future. You know the way San Ignatius, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear those who can send body and soul to the Gehenna. But who is that? God. I don't think so. It's me. You don't fear ourselves. It's true. I mean, God is going to send me to the Gehenna. No, why? Satan don't have that power. It's me who can send me to the Gehenna because my choices and my actions. I mean, but don't fear those who kill the body. Those who are externally killing, because that is the fear we have. We have the fear of killing, of the external killed of the body. We don't have fear to die. It's terrible, it's sad. Yeah. But either. First thing is a fact, it's very clear. Yeah. The denial of death is part of our humanity, yeah. Because it's part of being human. I mean, it's part of human wounded by original sin. It's not understanding for what we are here and what are the meanings of things here. I need to use this. In the Bible, it's a total connection between life, death, and our choices. That is very clear, it's very important in a spiritual life, because our choices is what kill us in truth. I mean, the physical death is passing to life, in fact. It's not something that we have to... I mean, we fear it because our lack of desire of God. The saints not only don't have fear to death, they desire to die. Why? Because they desire to see God. I mean, it's the way in the catechism also, I mean, quoting here, I am not dying, I am entering life. I want to see God. This the last one. I know that I enter into light, to life, is, I think, Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, Santa Teresa of Lisieux. I want to see God, and in order to see Him, I must die, Santa Teresa of Avila. And this is San Ignatius of Antioch, that you know was going to be a martyr. We're going to kill him. My early desire has been crucified. There is living water in me, water that murmurs and says within me, come to the Father. Amen. So, what I think is very important that we understand that. Why? Because it helps a lot for holiness. I mean, if I am now looking for the will of God, I don't have any fear when the will of God comes. If I desire the will of God, I will desire the will of God. If I don't desire now the will of God, I am looking for my will, of course, I will be afraid of the will of God when it comes. I mean, no. I mean, it's very simple to get it. But now we need to work it. Why? Because, and I insist, in any temptation, at the same way that you can open to God, in any temptation, if you face that, you are able to say, my God, please take me now with you, please. I don't want to live. I don't want to sin. If you do that, you conquer every temptation. It's impossible that Satan get there. Impossible is impossible. Because you are putting God above everything. You are putting the desire of Him above everything. You are disconnected with any kind of temptation. But that reason is so powerful, I mean. And God is going to kill me now. I mean, you have that idea, you don't have any faith in God. You think that God is a monster. That is the most horrible thing that can happen. God loves you with an infinite love. But here the meditation is not what is going to happen, because I don't know. The meditation is how I face my fear. Because Satan has a power there. And I am a slave of Satan because the fear of death. I mean, the text is Hebrews 2:14. I mean, but it's there. And now death is their shepherd, is the expression of the Psalm 39. There is their shepherd. Why? Those who are not walking towards God. I mean, because my shepherd is God. But where is guiding this shepherd? To living waters. Where the living water will be in fulfillment? Where? In heaven. Only there. Here we can taste it, but the fullness is not only there. So now we are going to see. What is the problem of facing death? What is the problem, the biggest problem? That I have to face the truth of my life. That is the problem. What are my values? What I am looking for? I'm looking for God. I'm looking for me. But it has this power. I mean, St. Ignatius, when he talked about discernment, making choices in life, he put, for making choices, put in the moment of death. What would you choose if you are going to die? I mean, he died very late, but I mean, it's why? Because that is putting you in the truth. It's not letting your emotional level and your thinking to get the may put you in a lie. I mean, but I insist the fear is because we don't believe in truth in God. And these words of Jean Paul II, a Christian life with a clear existential relationship with eternity is nothing. So in my life, existentially, so in my living daily, I'm not oriented toward the union with God, toward heaven, toward eternal life. It's nothing. It's a lie. It's not a Christian life. Why? Because Christian life is understanding that this is a moment, and we are going toward there, toward the union with God. I mean, but this meditation, what put us is in the truth of ourselves, and help us to understand how we are living our lives, and what is the meaning of our lives. And if truly we are looking there, I mean, because in the moment, the things, when you think them in the perspective of eternity, they get a total different value. We absolutize everything here. Why? Because we are not looking the things in the perspective, in the horizon of God and eternal life. What is it, I mean? So my body is always saying to me, especially when you get my age, I mean, if you don't have some pain, it's because you are dead already. So, I mean, I went yesterday to play racquetball, and today it was like, I have to move. Because I play a little more than the time that I must, that is passing an hour. If I pass an hour, but because I'm very competitive, so I don't give up nothing. And so, but today I was saying, wow, what a body it is. But it's your body, it's a reminder, what? That you're going to die. It's the physical reality. And in my opinion, the people who are getting the elderly, many of them, they deny the truth. What? You're going to die. Because for me, it's more clear than a guy of 20 or 30. I mean, something that I cannot deny so clear. Everyone denies it, and a guy of 30, if he's intelligent, will not deny it, but it's more easy to deny it at 20, 30, or 40. At my age, it's more difficult. So what can happen if I deny the essential truth of my body? That my body is saying to me, you are aging, and that means that you are going to die. And you don't know when, and maybe today or tomorrow, because, I mean, of my age, millions of people die today. A heart attack, a stroke, whatever. But if I am not facing it, I mean, imagine the problem. Why? Because I am blocking the most important reality of my existence. What? My body. And imagine if you are denying the most important reality of your existence and the most important truth of your life, that you are aging and you are going to die. What can happen? Maybe you get Alzheimer. Because what is Alzheimer? Getting the connection with reality, you remind the things of the past, but the thing of the present you don't remind then. Why? Because you are denying present. You are disconnected with present. You are escaping. And I go to the nursing house, where the elderly people are, and majority of them, they are so sad because of that. They are playing stupid games. They are watching TV. They are doing things like for little children. I mean, what they have to be the wisdom of the society. They have to be the guidance of the society. They have to be those who give meaning to the life of the youth. But no, they have no meaning in their lives. And I insist it's connected totally with this problem, not facing the truth of your life, that is temporal. The body is saying me that temporality is part of my life. My life is timed. I mean, it's there. And we don't know the time of that time. When we are born, everyone knows that we have a day for dying. I mean, there is a tomb of a woman that her husband died. And I don't know, but the date of the woman, of the husband, 1924, or whatever, like that. And put the name of his husband here, and here he put her name. He don't put the date, but she knows that she was going to be there with him one day. So, I mean, why? Because she knows. It's impossible that I'm not there one day. Why? Because it's a fact that our life that is very important to face it and to understand it. My body is a lasting sign of my temporality. It's teaching me the urgency of life. Everything is passing and is irreversible. Yeah. And I am walking toward God or I am walking toward death. Nobody can walk toward death. And now I close in my ego and I begin to think about things for escaping from the meaning of life. Because nobody can walk toward death. It's impossible. But we can walk toward God, and in that moment we are conquering the fear because, you know, we are pilgrims. That is one of the essential truths of the Bible. In such way, it's so important that God chooses a people for making pilgrims. In the contrary of all the other peoples, it's a people whose mystery is being pilgrims, being in a pilgrimage, all along their life. And he writes all the Old Testament for teaching us to be pilgrims. Why? Because we are pilgrims. We are in a way. We are walking. Look this. I mean, this is the heart of a real Jewish, so a real person who believes in God. And they're out of there, you know, the many signs that are all about going to Jerusalem. But what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the sign of heaven. The celestial Jerusalem, that St. Paul talked about that. Why? Because the Old Testament was written for us. In this time, that we can understand in physical ways the meaning of our life. That is the meaning of all the Old Testament. So we can understand in the physical things that God did with the people of Israel, with Abraham, and the 40 years in the desert, we can understand that we are in a pilgrimage. And here's the beautiful psalm, that is the Psalm 84. There are a lot, I mean, but this is one of them. How lovely your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. How lovely your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. It's a person who is what? In the desire of God. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. As the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest to settle her young, my home is by your altars. Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who dwell in your house. They never cease to praise you. Happy are those who find refuge in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrim roads. As they pass to the Baca Valley, and I don't know what is that. I think it's the Valley of Dryness. That means the Baca Valley. They find spring water to drink. Also from pools, the Lord provides water for those who lose their way. They pass through outer and inner wall and see the God of gods on Zion. Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. O God, look kindly on your shield. Look upon the face of your anointed of Christ. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better the threshold of the house of my God than a home in the tents of the wicked. For a son of Sheol is the Lord, bestowing all grace and glory. The Lord withholds no good things from those who walk without reproach. O Lord of hosts, happy are those who trust in you. I mean, amazing psalm. It's more beautiful even in the liturgy than here. In the liturgy of the hours, when it's prayed, it's better, more poetic. Here it's a little. That is how the things are. So, I don't want to pass time. So, what is dead? Life is the moment of separation of the soul and the body. The soul passed to the presence of God, and we have this. You know, there is a saying in Spanish is, ten cristianos en la memoria, juicio, infierno y gloria. So, have Christian in your memory, the judgment, death, judgment, and glory, and hell. I mean, why? Because we are walking toward that. It's the goal of our existence. And so that fact that one day we are going to pass to the presence of God, death is the separation of body and soul, as described in the Catechism of the Church. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil in the body. I mean, that is 2 Corinthians 5:10. We are not going to say what we have done in our heads, no, what we have done in our body. I like that expression because, I mean, it's very good for our society. So, and the soul passed to eternal life, that is the union with God. Those who are holy are there. Hebrews 12:19. Strive for holiness. Nobody will see God without holiness. Strive for holiness. I mean, this is the plan of God for this life, is being holy. I mean, and he wants us to be holy. Why? So, because God doesn't want anyone to go to purgatory. God doesn't want anyone to go to purgatory. And if we go, it's because we want. Not because God wants. Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, when, you know, there was a nun that was there saying that, I know, you know, this is so difficult because the justice of God, and we are so weak, and we are so sinful, and I mean, and I hope that I can go to purgatory. And so the rest of Avila, all the child Jesus of Lisieux told her, I mean, sister, you are going to get what you hope, but I am not going to pass purgatory. Why? Because I hope that God is going to bring me there. I mean, it now depends on your hope. You think hope is what heals our hearts and opens us to the action of God. And Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus was open because she hopes in the mercy of God and the love of God. So striving for being holy is because God has created you for being holy. And he can make you holy if you truly open to him, especially in the moment of death. For me, it's sometimes a consolation. What? and so miserable that I think in the moment of death, at least because I am doing it now, I will offer totally my heart to God. I will accept it, whatever is my situation, and I will not pass purgatory. I mean, God is infinite grace and love. And the only thing that he's asking us is to accept his will. The only thing is that. And of course, as you can understand, the most important definitive moment in your life is the moment you are going to pass to the presence of God. I mean, it's there. So, death is the hour of the truth. That is death is the encounter with Christ. I mean, that encounter with Christ. That is death. If I love him, I can't refuse it. I mean, it's true that we love him very little, and that's what we have to heal. That's what we have to increase, our love to God, our desire of God, as this man of the sun was moving. I mean, you go to prayer, and you don't move your desire of loving God, you are not praying. You are doing other things, I don't know. Move your heart. I mean, the desire of loving God is the goal of prayer, because it's charity and hope. I mean, the desire of the union with God. So if you go to prayer and you don't move that desire, what are you doing in prayer? Thinking? For what? You improve something you? But the desire of God, improve your heart, because open you more to heart and the desire of God. Because everything that you can desire is in an infinite dimension in God. Yeah? And we don't desire him. We don't believe in God. And that is the problem. Have this very clear. The problem of prayer is faith. Yeah? And because our lack of faith, God cannot work in us. Because, I mean, if I don't desire God, what is my idea of God? I don't believe that God is happiness. I don't believe that God is the creator of all this goodness, of all the beauty, of all whatever I can desire in whatever level is nothing compared with God. And I don't desire him. I mean, it's something weird, no? But desiring God, what means? Facing death, my friends. Yes. I mean, the salvation of the world, that is what I think, no? I mean, look, the saints have Mother Teresa, how many things she did in life. Because Jesus at the end in life, I mean, Jesus has done from heaven a lot because he's God. But in life, he chose 12, it's true that he did the miracle. Look, Mother Teresa, I don't know how many congregations in how many 100 and something countries with congregations there, congregation for the poor, congregations for the contemplative life, because she surrendered to God and she was a woman of faith, total. I mean, God wants to do to every one of us different things, depend on how we open to him. God is almighty, is almighty. The thing is that he has very little people, very few people, that want to put totally in his hands. And God cannot work with a person that is not totally in his hands. Because that person can go worse. Because if I'm not totally in his hands, I mean, maybe I do weird things in the grace of God, and that is worse. So, but God wants to do extraordinary things to every one of us. I mean, the conversions, St. Peter preaching, I mean, 5,000 people. Why? Because they have the faith. I mean, they have the power of the faith, of believing. But I insist, I mean, it's very important that we get the importance of this because it's, you have here quotes about, this is the hour of my truth. I mean, there is a lot of even symbolic, mythological ideas that only in the moment when you face your death, as the figure of death as an image, in that moment, you come to the total truth of yourself. It's the only moment in your life that you come to the truth of yourself. But we can face it now and come to the truth of ourselves, where I am. I have some fear. What is my fear? It's very important in your life to know your fears. What are my fears? And you can now begin and thinking things. Is really that my fear? What are my fear of embracing God? Of going in and going in the mystery of his love? What are my fears that I have there? Because it's very important to purify that dimension in my heart, in my prayer, no? I mean, what are my fears about God? Do I fear him? Instead of fearing the enemy or fearing me, because the enemy at the end is nothing. He has power in me because I am egocentric. But if the ego is dead, he has no power. As the cure of hearts of Santa Teresa of Avila or Padre Pio, he has to do external things because the ego is dead. And because the ego is dead, not instead in this dead of sin, that he has no power for tempting them, they have no fear to anything. And now he manifests in external ways the anger of not having any power inside these people. I mean, because he has, but we don't fear that. We fear the other. So it's the moment of that. Those who have been in a spiritual exercise, they know this anecdote because it's funny, I mean, it's something. So first, the St. John Bergman. So we get care of a saint with 21 years. He was in the Jesuits, he was in the novitiate of the Jesuits, and he was there, and they asked then, the master of novices asked then, what would you do if you know that you are going to die in 5 minutes? And one said, I will go to the tabernacle and pray. I will go to confession. I will go to Mary. I will go to, and the different things that they, all good things, I mean, for, I will repent. And he answered, I will continue praying. Right? Because he was in the total awareness of doing the will of God. And in that awareness, you have no fear to anything. Because death is part of the will of God also. I mean, and this, you know, this guy that was, you know, this, that expression, that is a mythological expression, but was the idea that if you face death one day, that day you are going to die. So you see face to face death. And this guy was in the market there in Rome, buying things, and in a moment he saw death face to face. And he was in panic. And death looked to him, like saying, that puts in like a weird face. And he went to, he was born in Venice, and so in the cathedral there in St. Mark, and he went there to the baptismal because he wants to renew, ask God forgiveness, and don't get take him yet, and he began to run, take a horse, the horse almost died, take another horse, so running, you know, the distance between Venice and Rome is long, and when he get there, after 10, 12 hours in the horse, running with the horse, get there to the bath, and he get there, and death was there waiting him, and I say, the only thing I understand, why, when I saw you this morning, you put that face of weird, like you understand? And that answered him, because I don't know how you were going to get here at this hour because you had to die now. So trying to escape from death, he get to the point where he was. The hour and the time, we cannot escape that. So help us to value life in a different way. I mean, when you face that, you go to the essential. I mean, to the essential things of your life. Jesus had this expression, if you cannot give a minute to life, a span of life to your life, why you worry about other things? But it's also the same, it's facing in some way that you cannot give a minute of life to the span of your life, why are you worried about other things of the future? You don't have that power. I mean, I think it's very important and so what I want to finish, so you get, do the meditation, it's very powerful. And accustom yourself to put before death. You will see how powerful it is. Whenever temptation you have, you go to God and you truly open to, my God, here I am. I'm a sinner, but you love me. If you want to take me, here I am. I don't want to sin. I want to put you first. I mean, it's a very, very powerful thing. In fact, you know, St. Ignatius, when he was tempted by, what are you going, because majority of temptation are in fear and anxiety about the future. What are you going to do? What is going to happen? How you are going to do that? What is going to happen with that? What is happening to the other thing? I mean, St. Ignatius was in such temptation by Satan that about his life, that he was having a very ascetic and a lot of prayer time, how you are going to keep there, how you are going, and he was, according to what he wrote, or the other wrote, because he told him, he was in the point of suicide, of making suicide, of the huge temptation that he had, was having about the future and the anguish and the fear that he was there. He was tended to, he talked about that. There was a hole there of throwing to the hole for finishing the thing. And you know how he finished the temptation? Facing death. He asked, well, in some way to Satan, have you the power of giving me a minute of life? Finish temptation. I mean, within temptation that sometimes is how you face death. And what he faced? He faced time. I don't know if I'm going to live tomorrow. But now I live in the will of God. So I don't think about the tomorrow and the in the future. So it's a powerful thing for our health. So now we go, so you understand a little deeper how all Christian life is connected with this fact. And how we need to face it, I mean. Because I understand that the people don't face it because they don't believe in God. But we say that we believe in God, and we say that we are created for eternal life. And at the same time, and we can go a little deeper. I mean, eternal life and God is in your heart. So how you come to Him with the desire of God? How you can go to Him without the desire of God, without facing, I mean, it's impossible. So we go to the realities. First, the resurrection. You have here like 20 texts about how the value of Christian life is about believing in the resurrection. So Jesus conquered death. And I go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, it's one of the most powerful texts about the resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15. It's an amazing text. From the beginning to the end, it's about the resurrection. And here is the expression simple. Here is what is the faith of these people. Very short, that is the creed. Now, I am reminding you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. What is the gospel? This is the gospel. Which you indeed receive, and which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved. So the action of God in your lives, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is gave through the faith in this gospel. You are being saved by through it. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed unto you as of first importance so what I also received. So imagine, this is about the year 53 or something like that. And he's talking about a tradition that he has received and now he's handing to them. I mean, so when they say that tradition was not at the beginning, this is written before the Gospels. The Gospels were written probably in those years, 60 or something like that. But this is 50. For I handed on you as I first important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried. So he was really dead. That is the meaning of he was buried. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. But what is the core? Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was risen from the dead. And that is the gospel that which is founded. The other thing is that he appeared, because he was risen, he appeared and made witness of that fact. That is the witness there. And he talked about them and he finished talking about him. And the problem is in Corinthians, there were same people that Jesus was risen because they were the witness there. There are people who were alive yet, but they were denying that we are going to be raised from the dead. That is what they were going to denying the Corinthians. And this is where St. Paul comes, I mean, with all the battery of his intelligence. But if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? For whom? For us. Because for Jesus, they accept it because they were Christians. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then neither has Christ been raised. So we cannot understand how he's reasoning. So he's saying the things, I mean, because we're people who were witness of the resurrection of Jesus. So if you deny that there is a resurrection of the dead, you have to deny also the resurrection of Jesus. So the witnesses are useless. And go there. Then neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is empty. And two, our faith. We are false witnesses to God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. All the problem is saying because they are denying the resurrection of the dead. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In finish with these words, well, continue. You can read it the whole. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, if for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. Strong test. For our understanding. Death is the salary of sin. It's a consequence of sin. So it's a consequence. What means? That the sting of death is sin. A person who has no sin has no fear to death. And because we don't die to ourselves, that is love, because love is always a fact of dying to whom? To me. We are afraid of death. More selfish is a person, more fear to death. Less selfish is a person, so because he's dying every day to him, less fear to death. This is a thesis that Benedict Systems has in majority of his book, almost. Why? That the fear of death is coming from our selfishness. Because we don't die habitually, because we don't love, we are in fear of death. The person who is dying to himself every day, what fear I have to die if I am already dying? In the spiritual level, I mean, but they are connected. They are not talking death, sin, that is the contrary of love, is the anti-love sin, no? That is what a sin is. It's there. It has a power in us, and Satan has that power. So the parousia. How we can expect the coming of Jesus if we fear death? How I can want that Jesus came now? And that is the core of a Christian heart that you have heard all the readings, and I mean they are in all the letters of St. Paul. The topic of the parousia is there. And the Advent is a time and we are moving this desire of the coming of the Lord. But how I can desire that the Lord comes if I don't desire the union with him? I don't desire. So I desire he comes, but I don't desire to go to him. I mean, you can understand it's something crazy, but it's part of Christian life. Baptism. Baptism is dying with Christ. You have the powerful text of Romans 6. Especially three elements. Baptism is dying with Christ. Even St. Paul used, we are died with, and we are put in the sepulchre with Christ. So we understand that we have died for what? For living for God. For living toward God. That is for God. But is there, I mean, the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the memorial of the death of the Lord until he comes again. That is the way the church describes the Eucharist. So a memorial of his death. He died for us, and we go to the Eucharist every day, and we are not, and we don't face for what he died. That is for us. I mean, I go quickly because we have to finish our time. Yeah. Eternal life. Our life has no our clear reference to eternal life. Has no reference to God. What is a Christian life without a reference to eternal life? It's nothing. Almost nothing. Life as a pilgrimage, that is idea that is repeated constantly in the Bible. And again, because we are not in that, we don't live now the present moment. We cannot live in the divine providence of God, because the divine providence of God means wanting one thing, the will of God. And the will of God is given in the present moment. But why I want the will of God? because I live from His love, and in His will is His love, and I want the union with Him. But you know that the union with God, all the saints, that is a thesis of many theologians, and I am sure that is that, all the saints die from love. They die physically. They have that illness or that martyrdom or whatever. But all then died in the plan of God by love. The death that is caused there, dying, is love. Love to God and the desire of the union with God. And that desire of the union with God, God's accomplishing them through death. Because bring them to the union with Him. You know, St. John of the Cross, you have heard several times from me this, the person who has had a glimpse of the beauty of God is in the disposition of having 1,000 terrible deaths for only having another glimpse of the beauty of God. The point is that they know God and we don't know God. That is the reason they desire Him and they desire, I mean, the encounter of God. And they desire more. You can read it in St. John of the Cross. It's amazing when he talks about, kill me the beauty of your face. Something like that, no? It's the expression, you have it there. Kill me the beauty of your face. It's amazing. The things that he's saying. And he knows that a human nature cannot desire death by itself. And he wrote that. I mean, but he understands that the person who has been taught the desire of the desires, the thing that he wants, the only thing, is getting the union with God. And that union with God, as you can understand, is only achieved in fullness, in vision, because we can have here a union with God in love, in the heart, in charity, if we are looking for it, of course. But that is in vision, that the greatest desire of a lover is to see the beloved, the greatest of all. But what is our love to God? And that is the point of death. I mean, this is. And prayer, how we can pray if we don't desire God and the union with Him and to see God. I mean, prayer is wanting to see Him. I mean, loving Him and wanting to see Him. I mean, prayer becomes something so weak because the lack of desire. Because in the moment I desire to see God, if I truly desire to see Him, I cannot desire Him to don't see Him and see Him, no? I cannot have the double desire. So, is there, you have the meditation. I finish with this word of San Cyprian, a martyr of the third century. Don't wait to hour of death to prepare to die well. You know neither when or how you will die. Do know all you will like to do then. Are you with the disposition for dying in this moment? If not, when? I mean, it's a powerful text of a father of the church. I mean, and this is José María Escrivá de Balaguer, and the founder of the Opus Dei, and we finish with these words. Don't be afraid of death. Accept it from this day on generously. When God wills it, how God wills it, where God wills it, believe me, it will come at the time, in the place, and in the way that are best, sent by your Father God. May our sister death be welcome. I mean, this meditation is not for putting you in fear of death. This meditation is that you lose the fear of death. So, work it. We pray to Mary, as always, asking her to help us. Where? Now and in the hour of our death. I mean, that we pray every Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that we are temples of God, God dwells in us, and trying to find Him in the place where it's easiest to find Him, that is our hearts. We pray to Him, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Have a good week. Oh, you have the paper here. Pass it there. It's good paper. So you give it, that's better. Everyone has it? This is a beautiful picture of del Greco. Uh-huh. And Jesus and the fire receiving the Jesus in the moment of his death.